Radio Prague News.
Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda has met Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Almost no working people in the Czech Republic are poor, according to Eurostat. And Czech President Václav Klaus has said he still sees no reason why the European Union flag should fly at Prague Castle. Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda, who's on a three-day visit to the Palestinian territories, met the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas on Sunday to discuss the role of the European Union in the Middle East and the path towards the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. The two officials also discussed the situation around the Rafah border crossing between the Gaza Strip and Egypt, which the EU wants to monitor, an option Mr. Svoboda does not support. Mr. Svoboda also told Mr. Abbas that the Czech Republic was ready to participate in the training of Palestinian police officers. Almost no working people in the Czech Republic and Hungary are poor, unlike in Spain or Luxembourg, according to data released by the European Union Statistical Office Eurostat. According to Czech analysts, the low figures for the Czech Republic are indicative of certain egalitarianism in society. Differences between salaries in the Czech Republic remain among the smallest in Europe. The average net monthly salary is 13,700 crowns, or $570. The poverty line, calculated by Eurostat, is around 6,500 crowns, or $270. The net minimum monthly wage in the Czech Republic is 5,800 crowns, or $241. Czech President Václav Klaus has said he still sees no reason why the European Union flag should fly at Prague Castle, the seat of Czech heads of state. In a televised interview on Sunday, President Klaus said he believed the Czech Republic was not a province of the European Union and that the Czech national flag should not be substituted or overshadowed by any other one. Earlier this week, two activists attempted to raise the European flag at Prague Castle, but their effort was thwarted by the castle guards. The chairman of the lower house, Lubomír Zaorálek, has said that the director of the state-run health insurance company VZP, Jiřina Musílková, has faced criminal prosecution because of a disadvantageous 1999 sale of shares of a jewelry-making company owned by the VZP. The lawsuit was filed by then-president of the Czech Medical Chamber, now Health Minister David Rath. Mr. Zaorálek added that Jiřina Musílková was still on the supervisory board of the jewelry-making company. According to Mr. Zaorálek, the lawsuit was suspended because of an expired statute of limitations. Last week, Health Minister David Rath put the heavily indebted state health insurer VZP under forced administration and called on Mrs. Musílková to step down. So far, she has refused to resign. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Public Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. In today's program, Dialogue, Democracy and Debate, the European Commission President unveils Plan D in Prague. Radio archives shed new light on the communist-era trial of accused spy Milada Horáková. Those stories, our sports roundup and more coming up now, so please stay tuned. A European Commission delegation led by its president, José Manuel Barroso, is currently touring EU member states with an initiative aimed at bringing the European Union closer to its citizens and overcoming the crisis brought on by the rejection of the EU constitution by the French and the Dutch. Mr. Barroso's first stop was in Prague, where he unveiled a so-called Plan D, which, he said, should show the way forward. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
Czech Republic is very important for the European Union, and we believe the European Union is very important for Czech Republic. So we decided to start this Plan D for dialogue, debate and democracy in the Czech Republic, not only meeting the authorities of this country, but also having the opportunity through modern media and the television to engage in debate, to listen to your concerns, but also to give you our message about the way the European Union could and should go in the future.
European Commission President José Manuel Barroso there speaking at a press conference in Prague. And what better place to test the strength of his arguments than at Prague Castle in a debate with President Václav Klaus, generally regarded as one of Europe's leading Eurosceptics. Following their meeting, both men had high praise for Plan D, each for different reasons. Mr. Barroso, because he believes it will open the way to greater EU integration. President Klaus, because he hopes it will prevent it.
Možná, že bychom se shodli v tom, kde jsme dnes, že jsme v nějakém bodě B.
I think I can say that we agree on where we find ourselves today. President Barroso believes we should travel further beyond this point, while I believe that we have already passed the optimal and reasonable point of integration.
B už dávno překročil jakoukoliv optimální a rozumnou úroveň.
The European Commission President begged to disagree, saying that the French and Dutch rejections of the EU Constitution were a problem that could be resolved through dialogue, and that today Europe needs unity more than ever before.
Are we going to be paralyzed by that or not? I think we should not, so we should go with our work on. At the same time, we should take advantage of this period to have this kind of reflection and debate about the future of Europe. And I believe, and that is my point, and in that matter maybe we will not agree every time, to show the relevance of Europe, why we need a strong European Union. I believe we really need it more than ever.
Following talks at Prague Castle, Mr. Barroso met the Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, who is known to be a staunch supporter of further integration, and together they opened an information Eurocentre in Prague, the first of several which are to function in different parts of the country. Later, the Commission President, its Vice President, Margot Wallström, and the EU Commissioner for Social Affairs, Vladimir Spidla, took part in a televised debate with members of the public. Although the majority of Czechs support EU membership, and a recent poll suggests that 56% of them believe it gives their country many advantages, the general public is not overly concerned with EU matters or the workings of the European Union. They just expect it to produce results. When a television crew trailing the Commission President asked one bystander if he could say who José Manuel Barroso was, the man replied, "An opera singer?"
And ending that report by Daniela Lazareva on Plan D was not the European Commission President, José Manuel Barroso, but rather one of the three tenors, Pavarotti, I think. The sentencing to death of Czech MP Milada Horáková on trumped-up charges of treason and at the height of the Stalinist regime in the 1950s will always be one of the most painful and chilling moments in Czech history. A little more than 55 years ago, she faced her show trial with calm and defiance, refusing to be broken. Audio recordings, which the communists had intended to use mainly for propaganda purposes, were mostly never aired, as, for the large part, for the party's purposes, they were unusable. After Milada Horáková's trial and execution, much of the material was subsequently lost for decades, until now. Not long ago, a number of reels were uncovered by Czech radio, dating back to the trial's last day. Czech radio's Marek Janáč, who was involved in the project, explains how the lost material came to light.
Já jsem to porovnával s oficiálním dokumentem tehdejší komunistické moci, který vyšel.
I was preparing a documentary on the communist period, including the Stalinist show trials, and I was struck by the fact that the original broadcast by Czechoslovak radio only summed up Mrs. Horáková's final statements. I became curious over what had happened to the original recording. In contact with the National Archive, we found out about the existence of three old boxes of dusty magnetic tape. It turned out that they were recordings of Milada Horáková and others on the last day of their trials.
V zásadě jsem prohlásila orgánům státní bezpečnosti, že se trvávám ještě ve svém přesvědčení.
A nebo jestli je to také propaganda. A vyšlo z toho, že to je ten originál.
Compared to the official communist transcript later put out, this was the uncut original, and there were significant differences. In the official version, sentences or parts of sentences were completely cut. For example, an answer ends mid-sentence where Mrs. Horáková talks about Czechoslovakia's first presidents, T.G. Masaryk and Edvard Beneš. She explains how for her they had always been an inspiration. The communists, of course, weren't happy about that and they couldn't use it. On the tape, Milad Horáková stands by her principles.
Já jsem na mnohé věci dostala jiný názor a k mnohým věcem jsem také byla přivedena, abych o nich mohla přemýšlet.
Czech Radio would like to reconstruct the show trials, including that of Milada Horáková, in full to record them for posterity, historically accurate and complete. That, however, will mean digging through countless more reels, both in Czech radio and at the National Archives, to uncover all the necessary material, including tape, as well as transcripts, originally censored by the communists. Czech Radio's Marek Janáč, once again.
Tak oni šli do jakési neoznačené krabice, ve které právě byly tyto tři pásky.
The three reels we have were found when they went into unmarked boxes at the National Archive that were handed over by the Justice Ministry after 1989. We've got tapes labeled 23 to 25, which means 22 are still missing, plus two reels on which the verdicts were recorded.
Listening to the material today, Milada Horáková's testimony, as well as that of other defendants some 55 years back, is absolutely chilling.
Na tom, řekl bych, jsou pro mě nejmrazivější dvě věci. Jedna je, že
the most chilling thing for me is just how propaganda could manipulate, could trick a whole nation to believe that the show trials were real.
Co bude následovat, a to je podle mě na tom to nejhroznější.
A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for the sport with Ian Willoughby.
First today, athletics. And for the fourth year in a row, Roman Šebrla has been named Czech Athlete of the Year. Šebrla, wearing his Czech Army uniform at the televised awards ceremony in Prague on Saturday night, came second in the decathlon at the World Championships in Helsinki this year. In fact, gold in the World Championships is the only major trophy he's yet to win. Here is Roman Šebrla.
Něco tam chybělo, i když musím říct, že byla podle mých představ, povedlo se mi načasovat formu na mistrovství světa nejlíp.
The season wasn't quite what it could have been, even though I did succeed in timing it so I was in my best form of the whole year during the World Championships. But then again, I had health problems for almost 3 months before that, so in the end, I guess I can be satisfied with silver.
Skoro 3 měsíce, takže nakonec můžu být spokojený, že to vyšlo na to stříbro.
Second in the Athlete of the Year poll was discus thrower Věra Cechlová-Pospíšilová, while the young high jumper Jaroslav Baba, who set a new Czech record this season, was third. Skiing and Kateřina Neumannová has begun her season with fifth place in a World Cup event in Beitostølen, Norway. The Czech cross-country great, who is 32, was a mere 5.4 seconds outside the medals in the 10-kilometer classic. Let's hope Neumannová's season reaches a climax during the Winter Olympics. They take place in Turin in February. Moving on to ice hockey, and after a full 3 months at the top of the Czech Extraliga, Slavia Prague have been overtaken by the Liberec Bílí Tygři, or White Tigers, who took full points from their two games at the weekend. Goaltender Milan Hnilička said leading the table was very pleasant indeed, but added that the team would now have to concentrate on the more important second half of the season. And it must be a great time to be a Liberec sports fan. The town's football team, Slovan Liberec, are also leading the league. They played host to Slavia Prague on Saturday, but had to settle for 1 point, after Slavia came from 3-1 down to even the score in the final minute of one of the games of the season. Sparta Prague, meanwhile, won their first game in over a month, beating Mladá Boleslav 4-2. Their big summer signing, Miroslav Slepička, once touted as the new Milan Baroš, finally scored his first league goal, while fellow new boy Libor Došek bagged only his second. On Tuesday, the Czech title holders are in Champions League action, away to Ajax Amsterdam. And Ajax's Tomáš Galásek, captain of the Czech national team, could see his dream of ending his career in the English Premiership come true. The 32-year-old is reportedly wanted by Manchester City. Galásek's international teammate Milan Baroš scored his first goal in 2 months on Saturday, putting in a man-of-the-match performance to help Aston Villa to a 3-1 win over Sunderland. But Baroš is still some way behind the leading Czech goalscorer this season, Rudolf Skatzel, who on Sunday scored his 11th for Scotland's Hearts. And this is a man who was playing at full-back last season. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby. Well, it's time now on Radio Prague for our weekly interview program, One on One. Rob Cameron's guest this week is writer and former political prisoner Jiří Stranský.
My guest on this week's One on One is Jiří Stranský, writer, filmmaker and chairman of the Czech Pen Club. Jiří Stranský's family was persecuted by both the Nazis and the communists. Jiří himself was imprisoned by the communists on two occasions for speaking out against the totalitarian regime. He's now involved in a project to teach school children about the injustices of communism. Jiří, welcome to Radio Prague.
Thank you very much.
You were born in 1931. What are your memories of childhood in 1930s Czechoslovakia?
Well, as I was a member of a very political family, my grandfather was prime minister at the time and the president of the National Assembly also. And our honorary godfather was Jan Masaryk, who was a very close friend of our family.
So it must have been a very unusual childhood if your grandfather was the prime minister.
Yes, well, on the other hand, he was a farmer, and as I loved farming and I loved horses, so he was, first of all, he was not a prime minister. For me, he was a beloved person who enabled me to communicate with fee and horses on his farm. In a way, I felt offended when we met T.G. Masaryk, and I felt very offended and very furious as my grandfather, whom I loved, was a small, fat man, in a way ugly, and Masaryk was a tall, handsome, beautiful man, and he wanted to shake hands with me, and I refused. So much I was offended.
Out of loyalty to your grandfather. You were 8 when war broke out. What do you remember of the war?
Again, as the whole of my family was already a long time before against Nazism, feeling that there was a deathly danger around us from Hitler, and all the grown-up family was fighting against them. So that atmosphere, of course, was in the family. That was touching me terribly.
Now, Czechoslovakia didn't have a chance to enjoy many years of freedom after the war. The communists came to power in 1948, and your family was once again persecuted by a new regime. Why was your family targeted?
Well, it again had its roots already before the war, because my grandfather was a premier of a rightist party, which had in program to fight communists. The exile government of Czechoslovakia, all of them together were afraid of one party, and that was the Agrarian Republican Party of my grandfather. So they wanted to get rid of these parties, as this party again could win the elections. So they accused my grandfather of collaboration with Germans, which was very funny, because not only my father was in, his son-in-law, but his own son was condemned to death even, and he supported partisans and people hiding, but they arrested him and they tortured him. He died then, and there was a big trial with the Communist Party lost. Do you think they don't forget?
You later yourself were also arrested by the communists. What was your alleged crime?
My alleged crime was absolutely elaborated. It was absolute fiction.
Fabricated
because I was working in some nationalized advertising company, and one of the heads of that company wanted to build an illegal organization. And he asked me, as the name of my family could support it. But at that time, already my father was in prison and my brother was in prison because he was a correspondent for United Press. And so I refused. And they caught him and condemned to death. He asked for mercy. And they told him, yes, but you must talk. And that fabricated thing was that I, as a young man with knowledges of German, because I was bilingually educated, one of my grandmothers was an Austrian, so that I was sent to West Germany to where they taught me how to handle the transmitter and into a course of silent killing and the things. But I was not aware of that, of course, so they nearly beat me to death, wanting from me to know everything, to say everything, and I didn't know what. So first I had slowly to get from them something. I could even say yes, something of that sort I did, because otherwise it was end.
You have often said that you're not bitter at the blows that life has dealt you. Why not?
Why not? Well, one of my books is called Happiness. And I always had a lot of luck meeting right people. And one of the first co-prisoners was one of the most famous Czech poets, Jan Zahradníček, who was a very crippled man, but a god in poetry, whom I adored as a boy already. And he, when we met, he saw how full of hatred and lust for revenge I was, because I really, what they did to me, I was just full of it. And he told me one thing, which already now, 50 years or how many, sound already as a phrase or cliché. He told me one thing. Jiří, he told me, the sooner you get rid of your hatred and your lust for revenge, the better for you. Otherwise, you would be the first victim of it. It takes a time to adopt it. But in the moment you really do adopt it, it's a wonderful relief. And I must say, the rest of my prison days were much, much easier.
You're heavily involved in a project by the Czech humanitarian organization People in Need called Stories of Injustice, which is touring primary and secondary schools with films documenting the sins of communism and also taking living victims of the regime, such as yourself, to talk to the school pupils. Is this country's recent past so badly taught that an NGO has to do the job that the education ministry should be doing?
It's not being taught at all. It's very sad, of course. It depends on teachers. There where they have young teachers, especially men, and it's rather rare, you find traces of some system in teaching that part of history.
What response do you get when you go to the schools and speak to school children?
There are some, of course, some funny questions. But these questions are always, for me, are something which is where I could begin with. They see the film, the documentary, for example. And one of the first questions is,
why didn't you do something against it? And for me, it's a good question because I tell them, now you prove to me that you are already so free that you even can't imagine what it was. It's true.
Do you think a writer is better equipped to deal with the trials and tribulations of life, especially in a period as dramatic and traumatic as the 20th century?
It's a matter of reflection, not a matter of force or power. I always told to my children, it's also a matter of decision. In the moment you have so many materials, even own experience, so it makes you express yourself to spread what you know. And as a writer who knows better to articulate than others do, it's even your duty.
Jiří Stránský, thank you very much for your time.
It was a good end, wasn't it?
And our own Rob Cameron was in conversation there with writer, filmmaker, and chairman of the Czech Pen Club, Jiří Stránský. And that edition of One on One just about brings us to the end of today's program. If you tuned in late and missed something, remember that all of our reports and features are available online in both text and sound format. The Radio Prague web page address is www.radio.cz/English. Also, please feel to drop us a line anytime. Our email address is english@radio.cz. From me, Brian Kennedy, and the rest of us in the Radio Prague studio, thanks for listening, and please join us again soon.